That is all right. I couldn't have done better myself. I'm going to tell you that. Hey, remind you, hey, guys, if you don't have anything to do today, the Sons of Thunder, the band from the first service, is going to be at Ackworth Beach at 2 o'clock. They're going to play from 2 to 3:30 and to celebrate the 4th. Man, I'm proud of this place we live in, aren't you? I'm proud of this country. We live in a great country. You know, Paxton was talking out there earlier that we as a country adopt more kids from other countries than any other country in the world. I know we give away more money, more food, more humanitarian aid than any other country in the world. And I think that's pretty neat. And I hope we just give away more. And that on a note, I want to let you guys know your food pantry fed 150 families last week. And that is incredible. It's going to keep growing. It looks like it's taking over this building, and I hope it does. It's a good thing what we're doing and what you're doing is giving away food. Can I get an amen? Let's liven up. Let's liven up. Let's talk about relationships. That'd be good, won't it? Every one of us either have had, or will have a broken relationship. And in our pain, we can build these walls to keep pain out, or build walls to keep ourselves from being hurt again. But when we do this, we just put ourselves into kind of a self-imposed prison. It is all we're doing. And when we build these walls, but to rebuild these walls, to rebuild these relationships, we got to tear down these walls. And that's what we've been talking about the last few weeks when I've been down here. Is tearing down these walls that are hurting relationships by the choices that we make. These relationships, I'm talking about a relationship with God and with other people. So we got to make these choices. The choice that we have is to keep our hurts, to keep our habits or hang-ups, or we can make some different choices that can improve our life. But they're radically different from what the world will tell you. Today's going to be the sixth choice. We're going to talk about the relationship choice. We've been looking at the Beatitudes from the book of Matthew, and we're going to talk about two of them today. Matthew 5:7 and verse 9 says, "Happy are those who are merciful to others. Happy are those who work for peace." What's going on with the middle, man? Nobody wants to sit in the middle. Has nothing to do with the sermon, but it's like, y'all think I'm going to spit down through here or something. But anyway, the choice that we're looking at today is this. I put it in bold letters in your outline. I evaluate all my relations, offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me, and make amends for harm I've done to others, except when to do so would harm them or others. You know, as a general rule, we love poorly. And we almost seem like we're constantly hurting each other. And we need forgiveness. And we need mercy. That's what we need, is those walls tore down on a daily basis. Matthew 18, and I wrote it in your outline, tells us of a very disturbing, but a very profound story of forgiveness. And like I said, it's in your outline. I want to read it for you. And I took the Message translation, the Message paraphrase, and used it because it's just easier to relate, and I like it. It says, at that point, Peter got up the nerve to ask, "Master, how many times do I forgive a brother or sister who hurts me? 7? Jesus replied, 7? Hardly. Try 70 times 7. The kingdom of God is like a king who decided to square accounts with his servants. As he got underway, one servant was brought before him who had ran up a debt of $100,000. He couldn't pay up, so the king ordered the man, along with his wife, children, and goods, to be auctioned off at the slave market. The poor wretch threw himself at the king's feet and begged, "Give me a chance and I'll pay it all back." Touched by his plea, the king let him off, erasing the debt. The servant was no sooner out of the room when he came upon one of his fellow servants who owed him $10. He seized him by the throat and demanded, "Pay up now." The poor wretch threw himself down and begged, "Give me a chance and I'll pay it all back." But he wouldn't do it. He had him arrested and put in jail until the debt was paid. When the other servants saw this going on, they were outraged and brought a detailed report to the king. The king summoned the man and said, "You evil servant, I forgave your entire debt when you begged me for mercy. Shouldn't you be compelled to be merciful to your fellow servant who asked for mercy?" The king was furious and put the screws to the man until he paid back his entire debt. And that's exactly what my Father in heaven is going to do to each one of you who doesn't forgive unconditionally anyone who asks for mercy. Well, reading this made me real uncomfortable. But Jesus told this story so that it would change lives. There are two thoughts from here, from this passage that I want to share with you today. Only 2 points. Can you believe that? So if you're taking notes, let's jump right to the first point. Because I have been forgiven, so I can forgive you. Because I have been forgiven, I can forgive you. This is the very foundation for us to be able to forgive this huge stack of hurts against us that have been accumulating sometimes over years and years. So I want to talk real quickly a little bit about this story. There's this servant working for a king, but now comes judgment day. He doesn't know it. The king wants to see him. That's all he knows right now. The king wants to see him, come see me. The king's been going over his books. And he discovers this guy owes him 100,000 smackers. The king says, "Pay up. Pay up now. Pay up now or you, your family will be in jail and I'll sell the rest of your stuff, you know." And you know, because I imagine if I was a king, I'm thinking he owes me $100,000 and he's riding around on a custom camel, you know, wearing designer robes, and he owes me $100,000. And he's going to pay up now. What's the servant start doing? He starts begging for mercy. Servant's begging for mercy. So the king says, "Okay." He says, "Okay, I'll forgive you. I'll forgive it. I'll wipe it off the books." Now, how would you feel if your banker called? "So you know that mortgage? I'm wiping it off the book today." "Woo-hoo! Son, that'd be all right, wouldn't it? That'd be all right." So, you know, he's in a good mood. I would be too. But I want to look at this as though it were you and I too. And we owe a debt to the king. We owe a debt to God. We owe a debt to God, an unpayable debt, this gigantic debt. Everything we ever did, thought, born in sin, separated from God, it's a debt that we can't pay, and we can't work it off either. Unpayable debt. We can't be good enough. Why did the king in this story forgive the man? Or maybe a question for you and I is, why didn't God, or why does God forgive you and I of this gigantic debt? I got to tell you, at the risk of sounding like a sissy, when I think of how much God erased from mine, it takes my breath away. It takes my breath away. It's incredible. But it's because of Jesus. The debt that I owe God didn't remain unpaid. Jesus paid it all. I could not pay it. Jesus took on the very debt that I owed, every bit of it, and God had mercy on me, and he did you too. Some of you guys that look on my Facebook know that I've been in kind of Luke chapter 15. It's a story of the prodigal son. One of my favorite stories, but yet one of my most... it gets to me. Convicting story. It's taught me more probably than anyone. But it's a story of a wealthy man who had two sons. And we could think of this as daughter, sons, you know, friends, spouse, whatever. But one of these sons come to his dad, and he said, you know what, I'm just sick of you. I'm sick of this place. I'm sick of being around here. I don't care about you. I don't care about your values. But, Dad, if you'll just give me my half, I'd like to have my half of my inheritance, and I'd like to get out of here. And the dad doesn't say, no way, you ungrateful little heathen. He gives the money. He gives the inheritance to his very rebellious son and said, you may go. That son went and lived, as we call it in Rockmart, the wine, women, and song life. Lived it up. Everything that could have gotten him in trouble got him in trouble. The money ran out. I guess you know what next runs out, the friends. And he's left on his own. And he winds up in a pig pen. Now, pig pen is not the place that a young Jewish boy would like to be. In the pig pen, though, is where he realizes all he has thrown away, the relationships, the fortune. And he gave up a lot. Well, he comes to his senses and he says, I want to go back to my dad's house. I want to go back. But you know, in reality, he doesn't believe that his dad will be kind to him when he returns because of the way he lived. Because he knows he doesn't deserve it. He knows he deserves judgment. He knows he deserves his dad's anger. He deserves nothing in return because he's just broken his dad's heart. But the Bible says, I'll go back and I'll tell my dad, treat me like a servant, not like a son. And that'll be enough for me. But the Bible also tells us that the son heads home. And guess what dad's doing? He's waiting. He's waiting and he's watching for his son. You know, when he sees him, I love this part. Because the dad does one of the most undignified things that a man could do. The Bible says he gathers up his robe and he runs. Much like pulling up his skirt, and he runs to meet his son. Just runs and runs. The Bible says when he got to him that he hugged him and kissed him. Can you imagine if you could just close your eyes just a second and think of this young boy's face? He came and he spent all this fortune and he was just penniless and he was broken and he had told his dad he didn't care about him anymore. And his dad is running with his robe up and he hugged him. He thought he would slap him. Can you imagine the look on the kid's face when the dad said, "Welcome home"? That he loved him. Can you imagine when he just realized that dad had been waiting on him on the porch and that he had been missing him? When dad said, "You're not going to be treated like a servant. You're my son. You're my child. You know, this is the story of the prodigal son. But I think it could be called the running dad. Running dad. The beauty of this whole story to me, this time as I read it, was the dad waiting and watching and then running. Dad didn't have any I told you so's. He didn't worry about what the neighbors thought. He didn't say how much he got left. He said, "Welcome home, my son. Welcome home." Guys, that's the way God feels about you and me. Welcome home. If we were to come to him and say, "I'm sorry, Dad, I messed up. God, I've lived my life away from you and I'm very ashamed. I've made some terrible mistakes. And God, I brought shame to you and my family." Maybe some of us might think that God might treat us like some earthly parents. This passage tells us that our Father, our God, our King, who sees the gigantic debt that we owe, he knows that we've blown it. But he approaches us with hugs and kisses. Not "I told you so." Not "you'll sleep in the barn." Not "you can't live here anymore." He approaches him with, "Welcome home. I've missed you. I've missed you. You are my child." Why did he do this? Psalms 103 is one of my favorites. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Bless his holy name." You see, guys, we look pretty good on the outside. But there's deep places in us, these caves inside each of us that are pretty ugly. And God sees these caves. He sees these struggles and hurts and doubts. He sees it all. He doesn't run from us. He runs to us. He loves you and I. Because he has treated us this way, he asked us to treat others the same, with the same kind of mercy and the same kind of grace that he has given you. "So I have been forgiven, so I can forgive." That's how it works. I have been forgiven, so I can forgive. That's easy. Isn't that easy? No. No, it's not. Because the problem is I don't like to forgive. I don't like to forgive. As I thought about my relationships all through my life, as far as I can remember back, you know, I got to go back 25 years. 20. A little more. The biggest problem from the very beginning until this morning in my relationships is me not wanting to forgive. Me not wanting to forgive. You know, the way it works for old Jim is God forgives me, I don't forgive you. Not all the time. I'm just, don't think I'm that bad a guy, but I don't like to forgive. I have to remember things. There's something very disturbing and very dangerous about that thought pattern, which leads to the second truth. I want you to know I do forgive. I just don't like to. The second truth is the unforgiving become the unforgiven. The unforgiving become the unforgiven. Well, let's go back to the servant. The servant receives forgiveness from the king. Man, can you imagine him skipping out of the palace? Wouldn't you skip if somebody said, hey, you don't have to make a mortgage payment anymore? Your car's paid for. I'd skip. I'm telling you, I'd skip. You don't have to do this anymore. Your debt is paid. It's erased. So he skips out of the palace. I'd even take up my robe. He skips out of the palace and runs smack dab into a guy and owes him $10. $10. Now, how much was he forgiven? 100 grand. 100 grand. Big difference between $10 and 100,000. Now, I got to tell you, if I've just been forgiven 100,000, I ain't worried about no $10. I just know. No, you're all right. You're good. Need to borrow 10 more? You know, whatever. But not this guy, this ungrateful servant. He grabs the guy, you know, shakes him and says, hey, you owe me $10. Pay up right now. The guy says, you know, I don't have it, but I'll get it to you, man. Give me some time. I'll give it to you. He says, no, pay up now. You're going to jail. He couldn't do it. The guy goes to jail until it's paid off. I don't know about you, but sometimes I can see myself as that ungrateful servant. I could have auditioned for that part. You know, when it comes to my sin, when it comes to my failures, when it comes to my mistakes, I want mercy. I want God to show me grace. I want him to excuse it. I want people in my life to understand and forgive me. But when it comes to my shortcomings and sins of those others that I love, particularly my wife and kids, it's a whole different story. I want justice. You hurt me, you need to pay. I'm angry, I deserve to be mad. What you did was wrong. I'm going to be mad. If you don't like it, too bad. And if you ain't careful, I'll bring it up again a few days later or years later. We all got files we keep stuff in, don't we? In this story, the king hears about it. The last part of that verse, that passage says, you evil servant, I forgave your entire debt when you begged me for mercy. Shouldn't you be compelled to be merciful to your fellow servant who asked for mercy? The king was furious and put the screws to the man. Do you know what put the screws to the man is? That's torture. Torture. Until he paid back his entire debt. And that's exactly what my Father in heaven is going to do to each one of you who doesn't forgive unconditionally anyone who asks for mercy. Put the screws to him. He tortured him. Guys, if you and I are not forgiving, at the very least, we're creating this torture chamber. A self-imposed torture chamber that we live in. If you hold on to resentment, if you hold on to bitterness, you're going to build this wall around your heart and it's going to break you. It's going to break you. There's lots of verses about this. I wrote some of them in there, Matthew 6:12. I begin, and forgive us our sins just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Stop judging others and you will not be judged. Stop criticizing others or it will all come back on you. If you forgive others, you will be forgiven. For there will be no mercy for you if you have not been merciful to others. But if you have been merciful, then God's mercy towards you will win out over his judgment against you. I want to tell you something, guys. The saddest people I know are those who are unable to forgive. Y'all get that? Because I got a bunch of amens in the 9 o'clock service. Let me say that again. The saddest people I know are those who are unable to forgive. All right. Y'all are all right. I'm finishing up almost. All right. Just about everybody, deep in their souls, has some unforgiveness for others. I want you to know something. That unforgiveness and bitterness will eat away at your healthy relationships. Do you get that? You can say amen. It'll eat away at your healthy relationships. Just like a bed sore. You know what a bed sore is? A bed sore, I know that's kind of a gross example, but a bed sore, a lot of times it's somebody that can't feel it. A bed sore will begin to happen, and then they can't feel it. And what a bed sore does, it eats away at healthy tissue. And then it goes to the bone, and eventually it could kill you. Same way with resentment and bitterness is unforgiveness. It affects the healthy stuff. It affects the healthy relationships. The anger and the hostility that you don't want to deal with, all of that stuff, you keep covering it up, it'll eat away at your good relationships. You know, friendships die, love dies, marriage, you know, dies. You know, the main reason is because of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness, resentment. So it's time to forgive. It's time to release the offender. I want to tell you, it's time to stop stabbing yourself with this pain. That's all we're doing is stabbing ourselves with this pain of unforgiveness. And I got to tell you guys, you and I have been forgiven much, much more. No matter who you are, no matter if you've lived this Pollyanna life and you never did nothing wrong and you was that goody two-shoe and all of that, you and I have an unpayable debt that has been paid. It's already been paid. Well, how do I become a forgiver? Well, first of all, I know it kind of looks odd and out of place. I put the cross here this week, and I think Courtney likes it because he can't see me. But I put the cross down here this week, and how do I become a forgiver? First of all, nail it to the cross. You become a forgiver by nailing it to the cross. Take it to Jesus Christ. Take the debt they owe you to the cross and nail it there. So I'm asking you to do something today. I'm asking you to think of something, to think real hard. Lee's going to come play in a minute. But I got pretty thick skin. As a pastor, they said, you know, they always told me, Jimmy, your skin's going to have to be thick. People are going to hurt your feelings, and that's just the way it is. And guess what? They were right. And so I thought, I don't have anybody that I have unforgiveness for. You know, because I try to take care of that daily. And Friday, I was thinking about this message, and we were about to close. And this lady walks in that said some really bad things about me and the church. And I thought I was over it. But guess what? There was some little resentment there. I mean, I didn't want to slap her or nothing like that. But Lee, I felt a little bitterness, you know? And I didn't like that feeling. And so deep within, God answered that prayer, who have I haven't forgiven? And I hadn't forgiven her. And so this morning I wrote her name down in the 9 o'clock service. I'm going to write it down again in this service. But I'm asking you to think of that person, that maybe one person that you haven't completely forgiven. You don't have to hate them. but you feel something that you don't like when you run into them. And I'm going to ask you to, you know, I got some scrap paper down here and some pens, as many as I could find, but write a name down. And I brought a red bucket there at the bottom of the cross. And you can drop that name down there. And I want you to release that person. That they, actually, releasing them is going to let you go. You know, fold the paper so I don't see it. You know, if it's me, the correct spelling is P-I-N-K-A-R-D. Release me. Or just put initials. It may be that somebody's hadn't hurt you, but hurt your child. That's a whole nother deal right there. We just went to another level. But God had mercy on you. God had mercy on me. Release that person. And the second way to forgive is do it today. Do it today. Drop it in the bucket today. You may have to forgive folks every day. I just about do. But refusing to forgive is the best barometer that you and I have about our walk with God. If you really want to know how deep your walk with God is, think about how easily and quickly you forgive when you're offended. I'm going to write my name down. Lee, I'm going to ask you to come sing or play something, and maybe you guys can think of someone. And someone that you haven't truly forgiven. And you know, I just thought of another. And I don't like that feeling. And I'm going to destroy those, if you'll trust me to. I had the elders do it in the 9 o'clock service, but there's none here. But I'll destroy them, if you'll trust me, right after the service. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for revealing my unforgiveness that's been hindering my relationship with you. I thank you, first of all, for forgiving me, for grace and mercy. I love you. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.